It is straight up at 8 o'clock, Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Welcome to the program. And the Artist Corner now, brought to you by the good folks at Sawdust Art Festival, going on now through August 28th. And first of all, two of the most fun and colorful people at Sawdust Art Festival, a couple of jewelers named Jamie and Cheryl. Jamie Bickler, her work is a combination of nature and empowerment with an emphasis on recycled materials. Can't wait to dig into that. Cheryl Holt Eberhardt, as a child of the 60s up north, Cheryl began her artistic musings by knotting intricate macrame belts and accessories for sale locally through these trendy boutiques. And then all of a sudden, everything changed when this unexpected passion surfaced in the late 70s, and that had to do with computers, the new computer scene. I can't wait to get into this conversation. We welcome to the Artist Corner this morning Jamie Bickler and Cheryl Holt Eberhardt. How are you today?
Great.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Glad to be here.
Well, was I accurate in those descriptions of you?
Mine, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Does that work? So let's start with Cheryl, a child of the 60s in Northern California. What was life like?
Well, I grew up in the Central Valley.
Okay.
We moved to San Joaquin Valley from Monterey, California, which was quite the culture shock.
Right.
My dad was a disc jockey in the 50s and 60s.
Very cool.
And so we moved to Stockton so he could head up a radio station there.
So that's why you took to this studio just like water, like fish to water or something, right?
I did.
Right. All right. And how did you get involved in creating art?
So in school, we were learning home ec, arts and crafts and things like that. And I took to macrame and we were hippies
right.
in those days.
That's a good word. It's not a bad word. It used to be you dirty hippie.
Well, we were clean ones. And I took to the art, and then in the late 70s, computerization came about. I learned key punching.
Right.
I don't know if you remember the cards that you used to fill out, and then you'd feed them through a computer.
And they'd come out with holes in them every once in a while. Yes.
I learned how to poke those holes.
Okay. So you're the reason for the hanging Chad problem in the year 2000,
absolutely.
Right?
It was a hanging. It's my fault. I didn't completely poke that hole.
So just before I jump into Jamie over here, a quick question about macrame. When I had my first apartment, and I'll go back. My goodness, it was like, let's say the late 70s, early 80s, first apartment. I had one of those beautiful macrame things hanging in the corner that you put your plant on. It had glass in the middle. And I thought macrame would be something I would see forever in home furnishings. I don't see macrame as often in home furnishings.
Well, it's still there.
It's still there.
There's craftsmen and artists doing beautiful knotwork.
Right.
Although now it's mostly in a collectible format.
Right, right. So I wished I had kept some of those pieces. I really do. Jamie Bickler, your work is a combination of nature and empowerment, and you really put your emphasis on recycled materials. Tell us about your work.
Well, I try to use recycled sterling, recycled copper, as much recycled materials as possible. If I use diamonds in my work, it's usually heirloom diamonds that I've salvaged from pieces that have been passed down for me from my family. I try to go as green as physically possible in the right. making of jewelry. And in about 5 years ago, I thought I had a book in me, but then I decided that I really just wanted to be in the studio making jewelry. That right. was really my passion.
So you sidestep the book. Oh, the book can eventually happen. You can start a book whenever.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not really worried about it at this point. If the COVID taught us anything, it was prioritization and really choosing to do what you want to be spending your time doing.
Right, right. Now your jewelry is called Laughing Raven.
Yeah.
Why?
Every place that a raven is in the world, they hold a place of cultural significance. Whether it's a bringer of death, the bringer of light, right. the trickster, the And they have such personalities, and I there's always laughing going on. That's a huge thing for me. You have to live life with as much enthusiasm and humor as possible, because it can get dark, man.
Right. Right. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've often found the Raven a cool thing. I used to associate it with death, and that's the fault of Edgar Allan Poe, by the way.
Right.
He screwed it over for the Ravens for years and years.
Absolutely. Bad rap.
Right, right. Yeah. But now, as an adult now, I find beauty in Ravens. And
there's a lot of humor in them. I was listening to the little earphone things at the Tower of London, and they were talking about the Raven Master was saying there was one raven that would hop into the center of a group of tourists and bark like a dog, and then hop out and kind of look to the side and see what reaction he would get. So there's a lot of humor there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm with you there. I'm with you. So the both of you share a booth. How did this union happen?
Well, we met each other at the Winter Fantasy Festival one year, and I thought, man, she's pretty cool. She makes cool jewelry. And then she thought I was pretty cool. And then we decided to take a class at Irvine Fine Arts that another artist was teaching.
Right.
So we started commuting back and forth together, and I thought, man, this woman is so interesting. And then she, because of her computer experience, she had worked for a Korean company, and so she knew where all the cool Asian food was in Irvine. And so we would go to a different Asian restaurant.
I know I don't look like I know food.
Right. And so then we thought, well, let's just build our booths together and see how it goes and share one working studio. And then we did, and it was kind of magic. It was fun.
How great that a friendship blossoms just because you know where to get good Chinese food.
Korean food.
Korean. All right, Korean barbecue.
And Vietnamese.
All right. Just had some Korean barbecue. Delicious stuff, by the way. And you were in the computer field for a long time, and then you retired in 2007.
I had a heart attack.
So what happened?
2007.
Okay. Was it just a lot of pressure from work?
I was doing some independent work. Okay. I had just come off a long-time job,
right.
And I was doing some independent work, and I thought, I'm just going to take a year off and scuba dive and do some things that I want to do. And while I was in Catalina Island visiting my sister,
right.
I had a heart attack. So it was kind of a wake-up call, the pressure.
Right.
And then in 2008, we had the recession.
Right.
No one was hiring IT managers, expensive IT managers at that time. So I thought, well, if I'm not going to drop dead, I'll take a jewelry class at Saddleback.
Right.
And I took the class, and I thought it was just going to be beading and, you know, stringing beads. But it was torches and hammers. Oh, yes, please. So I enjoy the physicality of the jewelry making.
Right.
And because I live here in Laguna Beach, I qualified to exhibit at the Sawdust Art Festival.
Right.
And the rest is history. People responded to my work. And
when working with torches and hammers, how detailed do you have to be? Is it easy to ruin a piece?
Oh, absolutely.
Any given moment.
You can have hours into a piece and right. decide that you just need to torch one more little thing there,
right.
put one more thing on and melt the whole thing. Or you can be setting the stone. You've made it through the whole piece. And then you go, the last thing you do is set the stone and polish it, and the stone will crack. And then the piece is unusable.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a trial and error. We pay a lot of tuition in our work, learning how to do stuff.
And when a stone cracks, that's got to be heartbreaking.
It's done.
Right.
You're done.
Right.
You're done. They all shape different.
Right.
You
right.
can't reuse that bezel ever again.
Tell me about the creative process between the two of you. Or is there a natural bouncing off of each other? How does that process work?
Well, Cheryl leans more towards torches and hammers. I'm a little bit more into etching, wax carving, different types of fabrication, but I don't have the physical strength that she has.
Right.
So we gravitate toward different areas of jewelry making, but it's really great when I've got a problem to be able to ask her, because she doesn't look like it, but she's a complete MacGyver. She always has something in some drawer that's going to make my life better.
Wait a minute. Why don't we try this?
Yeah.
And Jamie's been in the jewelry business for 30 years.
Right.
So I'm a newbie to this, but she has a lot of experience and knowledge that I don't have.
Right.
And so we can bounce off each other and say, well, how would you do this? I can't figure it out.
Right.
And so we help each other that way.
Right. Is there a style? Do you go into different modes of styles for like a two-year span? You're into this certain style that's in your head, and then you move on to something else?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So
absolutely.
Are you right now in one phase
octopus.
Of... Octopus. Okay. Let's talk octopus.
Well, you know, like everybody else, I saw the octopus teacher, and then I went to Hawaii, and I went snorkeling, and I saw four different octopuses over 7 days of snorkeling, which is, I've never seen an octopus snorkeling. Right. And I came back, I'm like, nope, this is what I'm making right. for this year.
It's hard to get those masks on the octopus.
Yeah, and then during COVID and during, you know, Trump, I just needed happiness. And so I started making flowers, lots of flowers with bright gemstones in it just to try and bump my happiness level.
Right. Oh, I get it. The entire world gets it. So yeah. So are you still creating octopus?
Oh yeah.
All right. Let me see this ring. She's handing me a ring here. Oh, this is magnificent. So it has it's a tentacle, and it has the suction cups on the. Oh, this is magnificent. All right. So we're gonna take a picture of this and throw it online. And how long does that... So it's a ring, and it's a one tentacle of the ring, and you could see the suction cups are on the outside. How long does a piece like that take to create?
Well, this is what's called a lost wax casting. So I had to carve it out of wax. Okay. And so that was something that I did back in May. And that this ring probably took me about 3 or 4 days because I'm slow and methodical.
Right.
And then from there, I can cast it and make multiples of it. But there's so much flexibility with this because, you know, I can stick a sapphire in between here.
Right.
I can bump the ring up in terms of... value, adding a 14 karat gold bezel, a sapphire, just really making it something different. Or I can leave it plain and just beautiful as it is.
Right. And and obviously not for you because you're an experienced jeweler, but for me, I would think it would be excruciating for each and every one of those suction cups.
It was so fun. I put on an audiobook and I just get lost in a world. It's wonderful. The best feeling ever.
Oh, that's fantastic. Cheryl, what are you working on right now?
So I, hammers and torches.
Okay.
I like to beat metal up. So one of my favorite things is a fold-formed copper cuff that I make. I take a flat piece of copper, fold it in half, put some hammer texture on it, unfold it again. It has to be heated again so I can unfold it.
Right.
And then form it into a bracelet. So I do a lot of things. I'm not a sculptor like Jamie is.
Right.
The best I can do is a snake.
Okay. You do those infinity bracelets that are so popular right now. Talking about hand strength, she's got the hand strength to form wire into an infinity knot.
Okay.
And they're, people love them.
Wow.
And I look and I'm thinking, that looks really painful.
I do have crazy strong hands.
Now, with copper in particular, when you're working with a piece of copper, is it important that it be pure, or do the other metals sometimes, because copper isn't always pure, whatever, there are other metals in it, does that destroy the piece or does that add to it?
So I work with 99% copper sheet.
Okay.
That is recycled from a refiner here in the United States.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure how the other metals fit in, but I like the feel of copper.
Right.
And the way it's malleable once it's heated and beaten.
Right.
And you can get fabulous textures and patinas on it. I use a fuming process with ammonia and salt water that brings the copper into the green colors.
Right, right.
And then I do a torch patina that I can heat the copper and hold it at temperature until it turns red, and it stays that way. It almost looks like leather.
Oh, these are skills. See, what you're hearing there are skills.
Mad ninja skills.
Yes, mad ninja skills.
Jewelry ninja skills.
So where's do we get demonstrations if we go by your booth at Sawdust? Do we get to see you actually work?
I do the Sip, Talk, and Walk on Wednesdays, which is a wine tasting, a docent-led tour, and it's free with your admission.
Right.
So you can sign up and you visit maybe four or five artists that demonstrate their work, and I do happen to demonstrate how to make a copper cuff.
Okay.
Also, Jamie and I are working in our workshop all summer long.
Right.
So we'll be at various stages of jewelry production whenever you stop by.
Oh, this is fantastic. Yeah.
If you look somewhat interested, we'll talk to you. Yeah. I'm making this. This is the first step of 27 steps to make this little thing you're looking at.
Come by in an hour and I'll be on step four.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's how it works.
What's the booth number so we can actually check you out?
Where? 321 and 322.
321, 322. And that, if I'm not mistaken, that is at the base of the stairs?
No, actually, we're on the concrete path.
Okay. Oh, good spot.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a cool
lovely spot.
Yes.
Everybody sees us at least once.
Right. All right. Well, I can't tell you how much I love this. And do we each have like a website online so listeners can go to your website and check out your stuff?
Sure.
Okay.
LaughingRavenDesign.com.
SHStudiosLaguna.com.
Okay.
Although I keep very little on my website.
Okay, well, that's all right. You got to go by Sawdust, which is even better. You have a great time, and you get get to check your stuff out personally.
And all my new work is at the Sawdust. I've taken no photos, complete analog right now as far as that goes.
All right, well, fantastic. Cheryl Holt Eberhardt, Jamie Bickler at the Sawdust Art Festival. Delighted to have had you in this morning.
Thank
this was
you,
so
Ed.
Very cool, and I can't wait to see you at Sawdust and check your stuff out.
We can't wait to see you either, Ed.
Thank you both for coming through. This has been the Artist Corner.